A Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Hwan. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Right now it's time for the hot seat, and our guest is the Chief Operating Officer of Refinery Concepts. His name is Brian Stamp. Refinery Concepts, if you're not familiar with it, it's the restaurant and lifestyle food arm of Far East organization, and they manage 13 brands. And when Elliot says these brand names, you might already be familiar with some of them.
Have you been to these restaurants? Okay, Kinky Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Kinky Restaurant
Rooftop,
and Bar.
Rooftop, yeah.
Rooftop, Fat Cow, Bitrock Bar and Grill, The Pelican, Cold Stone Creamery, okay. Dean and DeLuca, and the list goes on.
Nice, right?
I've been to pretty much almost all
you
of them.
You have?
Except one.
How very privileged.
Except one.
So our guest has been in the F&B and hospitality sectors for more than 15 years. His role now is to be responsible for the overall direction, business strategy, innovation, profitability of a diverse range of dining concepts. And there's so much work to be done. It's a wonder how he found time to be here with us. Good morning, Brian. Thank you for joining us on The Hot Seat.
Good morning, everybody.
You're, of course, the Chief Operating Officer of Refinery Concepts. I'd like to ask, being in this F&B and hospitality industry for what, more than 15 years now?
Yeah, 15 years, but the large part was in the hotels.
Okay, well, very related. How has this F&B industry changed over the past 15 years?
I think if you look at the way people are consuming, obviously you see online delivery.
Yeah.
Platforms. I think your stations order quite a lot while sitting in the lobby today.
You took a look?
Yes.
You were counting the number of delivery
tons of
guys
stuff,
walking through?
Being delivered. People are moving to multiple styles of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
I think fast food chains and chains are growing. But at the same time, you see a change in the market with more experiential dining coming to the fore.
What is experiential dining? Tell me.
A
like
lot
dining
of it,
in the dark?
Well, I think that's a little...
Extreme?
Yeah, extreme. I think people want to know about the food that they're having. People enjoyed it, especially when we run events, for example, pairing dinners. And we see an oversubscription of those kinds of events. People want to understand. People thirst for knowledge. They want to have somebody explain stuff to them. So it's about how they absorb the food as well as the information around the food rather than just a good steak coming or the wine that they're drinking, but why, where, and how it's made.
What's the age group of the people that are curious?
Mm.
Millennials?
Actually, it's quite a wide diaspora, frankly. But it's mostly some people in the late 20s, early 30s onwards. You have, obviously, these kind of events normally, they cost a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I guess people in the 40s will be a large segment as well.
Mm.
40s and above.
We're always trying to find the deeper meaning of everything, including whatever we put in our mouths.
Of course, of course.
So what else are customers looking for when they go into a restaurant or a cafe today, besides a deeper meaning of what they're ingesting?
Well, If it's on the cafe side, I think people just looking for three simple things, which are always the fundamentals: good food, good service, good vibes. It hasn't really changed that much. It's just that the way it's presented, what would represent a good vibe or what is good food or the expectation of good service may have changed over the years.
It's the sight of a good coffee machine as you walk into a cafe now. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
With all of that being mentioned in terms of how the F&B industry has changed, and with these 13 restaurants that you guys run, how then do you stay ahead of everyone? How do you stand out?
Well, you need to kind of do two things. One is inward reflection of your own customer. At the same time, you need to look at outward, what is happening out there in the market. So a lot of things where businesses don't do well and they struggle over time is that they are only inward looking. So they're very focused on what they're doing, but is like a typical frog in the well syndrome kind of thing, whereby they lose sight of what's happening in the industry. F&B is changing so quickly. Technology is changing the way people interact with business. Now people don't... Cafes, some of them don't even want to talk to a waiter. You know, they just want to order online, even if they sit at a table.
Okay.
So there are concepts out there in the market that are jumping on this quickly.
Okay.
And obviously, as you can see on the fast food side, they're educating the whole market not to talk to anybody when they order, just pressing on the order platform. You don't even need to speak to anyone. So for that segment, I think people are looking for fast, quick, meet their needs, really.
Is this Singapore specific or is this sort of a global trend?
I think it's cutting across. Technology is available. Labor everywhere is also getting costly. It's not necessarily about the cost, it's about the scarcity. Difficult to get people, I think not just in Singapore. I think if you go to any developed country, you will experience the same things. One of my colleagues just came back from hiking in Switzerland, and she was just sharing, even in a little bistro in the middle of a tiny Swiss village, they have pay-to-table, cashless way of making payment. So I don't think it's necessarily just Asia. Yeah.
Okay, good to know. We're speaking with Brian Stamp, the Chief Operating Officer of Refinery Concepts. It's the restaurant and lifestyle food arm of Far East Organization, and you cover 13 brands, yeah? Of the 13 that you have, which is the most profitable one, Brian, and why?
Well, profitability, if you take things at a snapshot, something that's profitable this year may not be profitable next year due to many reasons. I think the industry is, we have short lease terms for the restaurants if you don't own the space that you are operating out of. And you are subject to many, many risks in the industry. So across the board, I think sustainability longer term is where we see what is successful as a brand. So for us, as a broad stroke, our fine dining, our semi-fine dining segment is the one that has been doing very, very well for us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And you see that as a sustainable one as well?
When I look at the semi-fine dining brands that we have, they have been around for quite a bit at least. For example, Bedrock Bar and Grill has been in the same location for 10 years. We're celebrating on the 22nd of October, actually, our 10th anniversary. And the fundamentals have been strong from day one. And we've been building on that. And the success keeps on getting better and better. It's all about, like I said, the three core fundamentals. So that aspect, I think any food business cannot run away from. Good service, good atmosphere, and good food. Mm-hmm. It's how you deliver. But I think for Bedrock, we focus really, really on our core offering. And the large part of it has not really changed that much, but we've been adding on to depending on what the customer wants.
Right. Brian, I'd like to get your opinion on pop-up stores. You know, all these food festival pop-up stores, they're quite popular in this day and age. Do you see that as a competition in some sense?
No, I think it adds to the colour. I think if you talk about bazaars...
Did you go to the Geylang Night Bazaar
this
year?
I've not been in the last 2 years, but I used to hop over there. It's like...
get some ideas, right?
Yeah, a lot of the individual sole proprietors are actually very, very innovative in the offering. Mm. They can take a lot more risk in that sense. Okay. So there are a lot of learnings that even established food operators can gather from them. But I don't think it's competing. I think it's just adding to the whole colour and fabric of our F&B scene in Singapore.
Right. And just want to get your thoughts on news that happened late last year, I would say, and then into early this year, that a couple of Michelin-starred restaurants closed in Singapore. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on those restaurants exiting our country in terms of our food landscape? And what was wrong with their business strategy? Was it a profitability issue?
I'm not exactly privy to the core reasons. I think that there may be other reasons other than just the profitability. But the departure of these Michelin star restaurants does kind of subtract from the overall equation. But obviously, I think the key thing is even some Michelin star restaurant can struggle. Mm. And that's a good warning to would-be operators. We have to be very thoughtful of what we're going to do. Think through what type of business models we want before we dive in. Having the culinary success or the culinary profile supporting a business does not necessarily mean that you will be successful.
Okay. I want to take you back to the question I asked earlier about the most profitable brand under your 13, and you said it's the semi-fine dining ones that tend to do well and they're sustainable. What are the brands that don't do well?
Well, this year, actually, we've kind of bucked the trend. If you looked at the statistics year on year, restaurants have not done well, supposedly, this year as an industry. I'm glad to say we've kind of bucked that trend across the board. The areas that's slightly challenging would be the cafe segment. I believe we've improved against last year, but not as much as the other brands. But that area is where the competition is very, very intense. And you have a lot of first-time diners. They come and then they move around across many, many cafes across the island trying to taste something and having their Instagram moment, and they're moving on to the next thing. So that segment, I guess, is the toughest. It has been challenging for us, but we have been improving.
Brian, talking about this cafe segment and how competition can be quite tough on it, next year onwards, you know, if you want to apply for an F&B license, it's going to be simpler, faster, cheaper even.
How do you think that is going to have an impact on the most competitive segment of the different brands that you guys run?
Well, all F&B operators definitely do welcome this ease in the restrictions. 845 fields to fill, dropping to 200.
Yeah.
And then the number of days to get it approved has dropped as well. And the cost, I think, but that will impact more for, I would say, the sole proprietors.
Okay.
But at the end, I don't think it will have a huge influx of new F&B operators. We're still bound by the number of available F&B space.
Right, and then the leasing and whatnot as
so,
well, right?
So if that space remains the same, making it easier would just make it easier for those that are really keen. So ultimately, it will still be finding the spot, having the capital and the labour to operate a business.
So based on a report, the F&B sector is likely to be tapping online delivery platforms to meet e-commerce demands. How's it like at Refinery Concepts? How do you deal with digitalization and innovation?
Well, it's two ways to look at it. I guess the online, the food delivery systems are, or have been in play for the last number of years already. We're already on Deliveroo for majority of our brands.
Okay.
But most people that use these platforms normally are looking for quick fix meals. So our fine dining segment is not on that segment. But moving beyond that, I think the tech space, the key component that any business will look at is actually looking at data. How do we use data to get a better perspective of the customer? So for us, we are going through a revamp of a couple of things. Our point of sale systems, we are changing this year because currently we have been operating off three different systems and we're moving to one where it's more advanced and where you can cut data and reports to see, for example, how many cups of coffee you sell per hour, which hour is the most.
Consolidate and upgrade. Wow.
So yeah, it's about data actually.
That's the thing about today's day and age, right? But then there is still that need for manpower. That can be quite a challenge. How do you deal with the labor crunch?
Well, for us, we look at a few things. I think the industry is beset by a labor problem. Any labor-intensive industry is struggling with this in Singapore. So for us, we would have to look at creating a value proposition for us to be a choice employer.
Okay.
And at the same time, I think the industry has a lot of high attrition rates. So people come, people go. So what we have done since last year is actually really focus on recruiting, right? Onboarding right, having good orientation. So when I talk about recruiting right, is we don't want to just fill the spot, because if you recruited wrongly, the guy will be gone in 3 days, you know. It's like, oh, I don't like it. So we look at a few things. We hire for energy and attitude. I think those are the key things, especially for the front of house. And then we look at onboarding. So for us at Refinery Concepts, every month we do an orientation as well of all newcomers.
Okay.
I actually come and meet everybody and spend about 45 minutes, 1 hour, kind of sharing a little bit my thoughts on everybody's purpose in the organization. Mm. And I think if we do that right, you get the right people, you align them with your goals, you train them, inspire them, you tend to not lose them. So that is our focus. The scarcity is a given. But I think to your point about technology, you see that coming on in ordering at the table. So that's something we're looking at. Even efficiency, you are able to pay at table. You know, a guy just whips out the credit card machine in his back pocket and then he just settles the bill, shows you the bill, and then you pay on the spot. We've just rolled that out across some of our outlets. That will increase efficiency. So the guy doesn't need to get the bill, come back, collect your credit card, and go back again. Mm. So with that, you can kind of, instead of five guys, you might work with four. Basically, you kind of shaved off 20% of your labor requirements.
Hopefully, you get to turn over your tables a little faster as right? Brian Stamp, the Chief Operating Officer of Refinery Concepts. It's the restaurant and lifestyle food arm of Far East Organization. Hey, 2 years ago, Far East Organization invested in View Group. That's V-U-E. It's a Melbourne-based restaurant group started in 2000 by an Australian chef that a lot of you might know, Sharon Bennett. She's also an author. Tell us, Brian, what do you look out for when you pick restaurants to invest in, and which markets are you eyeing next?
I think the initial decision from Far East standpoint is they looked at Australia as a good place to invest. So beyond F&B, they've also invested in real estate, retail, and property. So creating a secondary market for Fai's organization. So moving forward for us, at this point in time, the next 1-2 years, we are actually looking at steadying up our growth and then ramping up. Beyond that, we will probably look at something in Asia Pacific.
Okay.
Yeah. So View Group has actually a fabulous restaurant. If you're ever in Melbourne, you need to go to View Des Mondes. Beautiful 360 view of the city. Fabulous degustation menu. Really, really worth it. I myself would be happy to pay any time I go.
All right. Yeah. Anything else we can look forward to with regard to Refinery Concepts?
Well, next year we're opening up, I guess, would be our first, and I think it's from the research I've done, Singapore's first Polynesian concept. We're opening
hula skirts. Topless men.
Not necessarily. We're not going in that typical tiki torch kind of way. But it's a Polynesian inspired restaurant with menus from all over Polynesia. It's called Native Kitchen, and we're opening in the Outpost Development, which is based in Sentosa, which is Far East Organization's 3 hotel brand opening right in the middle of Sentosa in April next year.
Sounds interesting.
Wow,
so a bit of Samoa, Tonga, and all those islands. Okay, hopefully a lot of fish.
Yes, yeah.
From the Pacific Ocean. Okay.
We've been speaking to Brian Stamp. He is the Chief Operating Officer of Refinery Concepts. Brian, thanks so much for coming by the studio this morning.
I'm more than happy. Thank you. Thank you very much.